Okay, so I do want to just make a point. So yesterday we looked at a few of the complexity within one of the drashot of Chazal. Of on the one hand, the Torah says that you count 49 days, and the other hand, it says 50 days, right? 7 weeks, 50 days. So we noted that, you know, one possibility is that it's on the 50th day of Shavuot. Another is the rush, that in general the Torah rounds. But there is another pshat, which is... Good night, Ezra. Another pshat, though, that is worth just knowing about is that in Neder Eliyahu, he says that maybe we sort of count 50 days. Even though in Sfirat HaOmer we only do 49, by saying Kiddush on Shavuot and declaring that today is day 50, essentially, by saying it's Shavuot, you are mekayim, the mitzvah of counting day 50. So that's just a pshat to know about. Okay, so let's just review what we had seen. So we noted, so 2 days ago we did the non-rabbinic positions, where we noted that the common denominator between all of them is that Shabbat means Shabbat, Shabbat Breishit. You have the Baitusi position that it is the day after the Shabbat of Pesach, which 6 times out of 7 means the Shabbat of Pesach. But if Pesach starts on Sunday, so then it is it's Isru Chag, right? Because the last day of Pesach is Shabbat, so Mimocharat HaShabbat is the day after that. The Karaites said it was the Sunday of Pesach, so that means 6 times out of 7, both the Shabbat and the Sunday is Pesach. But in 1 out of 7 cases, it would be the first day of Pesach, because the Mimocharat HaShabbat of Sunday, we saw there are some positions that say it was the Sunday, the first Sunday of the harvest season. But Chazal assume that it is the day after the first day of Pesach. Now, what was strange was that we noted in the first drasha, in the machloket with the in the polemic against the Baitusim, the Baitusi says to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that Pesach that we count the Omer when we do. Sorry, the reason that that Shavuot always has to be on Sunday is because Moshe really loves God, loves the Jewish people. And therefore, he wanted there always to be a two-day long weekend, which was strange because the Baitusi doesn't even bring the best argument he could have, which was it says Mimacharat HaShabbat, which sounds like Sunday. And Rabbi Yochanan, amazingly, in his drasha, he says, well, the reason we know that it's not necessarily on Sunday is because there are two models, Chamishim Yom and Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tiyena. 7 complete weeks means sometimes Shavuot will happen on a Sunday if there are 7 complete weeks, meaning Sunday to Shabbos, 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 Sunday to Shabbos. And sometimes if it's the middle of the week, it's not Shabbatot Tmimot, it's just day 50. Which is crazy, because that means within Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation, day 50, Mimachar HaShabbat actually means Shabbat and not Yom Tov, which is wild, because in Zavamina he didn't even have to bother defending that, and in his Maskana he actually accepts it. So that was Pshat 1. Then we saw Pshat 2 and 3. Rabbi Eliezer, who dodges the question, sort of, and says that we learn it from the fact that it needs to be a counting that depends on Beit Din, rather than a counting that doesn't. And therefore it has to be dependent on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Shua, meaning Rabbi Lazar, says that while Shabbat is outside of us, right, it's external, because it always exists, Yom Tov is not, because we determine the calendar, and therefore the Omer must be dependent on that. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, this is dependent on something outside of us, but Shabbat is arbitrary, it's just every 7th day. Yom Tov is dependent on a certain astronomical reality, and therefore the Omer needs to be something which is dependent on an astronomical reality because we compare it to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the month, and Shavuot is after, the way Tosfos understands it, after the full moon. We were up to Rabbi Yishmael, right? Is that right? We were up to Rabbi Yishmael?
I think so.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's what I sent you, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's very helpful. On Sfari, I can send you a link to exactly what line we're up to in the Gemara, because it divides it by line.
I like that.
So proof four. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Omra Torah, Have Omer bePesach. Oh, sorry, we did Rabbi Yishmael yesterday, but let's do it again. Rishmael Omer, Omra Torah, Have Omer bePesach, Ushte Alechem Batzeret. Ma lahalan regel utchilat regel afkan regel utchilat regel. Rabbi Shmuel is the first one to say that the reason we know that the Omer is when it is because of the centrality of the Karban and the connection between the Karban that you bring on Pesach and the Karban you bring on Shavuot. Because you have these two unique grain offerings that you bring. You bring the Omer on Pesach, which permits new grain, and then you bring the Shteh Alechem, which is unique on Shavuot, which is one of the only chametz karbanot that we bring, because in general the grain offerings are matzah. On Shavuot you bring Shteh Alechem, and he says both of them must be at the beginning of Yom Tov. And that's how you know that the relevant Shabbat here is not Shabbat Mamish, but it's Yom Tov. Because you compare it to the Shteh Alechem, which is clearly tied into Yom Tov. So the same thing is true of the Karban HaOmer. Now to proof five. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira Omer. Nemar Shabbat Limala v'nemar Shabbat Limata. It said Shabbat earlier by the counting of the Omer. And it says Shabbat by the start of the Chag of Shavuot. And the fact that we're dealing with a regel, Malalan regel tchilat regel, smochla, afkan regel tchilat regel, samuchla. So it must be that since we connect the Omer to the Shteh Alechem, and the Shteh Alechem are tied by definition to Yom Tov, right? Because the festival of Shavuot is clearly a Yom Tov, right? So here it's not focusing on the Karban in the previous one, it's focusing on the fact that it's connected to Shavuot, and Shavuot itself, we know, is a regel, is a Yom Tov, and not a Shabbat. So this proof focuses, right, the previous proof says, we know that the Karban HaOmer is brought on a day related to Yom Tov because it's related to the Karban brought on Shavuot, which is related to a Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira focuses not so much on the Karban as on the reality that the Svirat HaOmer, Karban HaOmer complex is related to Shavuot as a holiday, which means that the relevant categories that we're talking about when it comes to Omer are not Shabbos categories and week week categories, not week as in W-E-A-K, but W-E-E-K, meaning weeks, Shavua. So therefore, the same thing is true when it comes to the Omer. So what we have here is, I think we counted six proofs. Six proofs, is that right?
No, you just said this was the fifth one.
Was this only five? I've lost count on how many we did. There was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yeshua, that's three, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan. You're right, five. Five. Five different proofs. Okay. So let's just reflect for a moment and categorize these proofs. Oh, Ganapolsky. Okay.
Did we gain someone else?
Yeah, Ganapolsky.
Yes.
Hey, Daniel. Okay, so let's review the proofs that we have, and I want to take a step back and try to understand what's happening here. So, again, we have the non-rabbinic positions that all think that the Shabbat that we're dealing with when it comes to Svirat HaOmer is what we call Shabbat. They argue on other things, such as, is it the Shabbat, the first Shabbat of the harvest season, the Shabbat after Pesach, the Shabbat before Pesach. Chazal all think that it depends on Yom Tov. But what's amazing is that we have five different proofs, and they all function fundamentally differently. Rabbi Yochanan, as we said, is the most surprising. Because Rabbi Yochanan in his Hava Amina, in the beginning of his discussion with the Tztuki, with the Baitusi rather, says that the Baitusi doesn't even bring up Macharat HaShabbat as his reason for doing Sunday. It's Dafka Rabbi Yochanan who says, yes, I think that one of the two interpretations of Macharat HaShabbat, namely the one of Sheva Shabbatot Mimot Tihyena, is about Shabbat Breshit, because sometimes, one in seven times, there is a perfect Shavuot, which happens when you start the Omer on a Sunday, and then you have seven complete weeks. So he actually interprets it like the Tzduket, like the Baitusim. He just thinks that how do you know that Shavuot doesn't depend on being the day after Shabbat, and Svirat HaOmer and Karban Omer doesn't depend on that? Because there's a second model called the model of Chamishim Yom that is an imperfect week. And therefore, the problem with Rabbi Yishmael is that he actually thinks that the phrase Mimacharat HaShabbat means two things. In one pasuk, it means Sunday, and in one pasuk, it means the day after the first day of Pesach. Then you have one drasha, which says, the way I prove that the relevant Shabbat here is not Shabbat Breshit, but is Yom Tov, is because the central feature of, and I want you to understand the conceptual model, none of them are directly attacking Mimacharat HaShabbat. What they're doing is they're saying, I have an overarching conceptual argument about the nature of Svirat HaOmer and the Karban HaOmer that dictate that the relevant category can't be Shabbat, it must be Yom Tov. So one proof, right, Rabbi Yishmael, is the proof is because Karban HaOmer is connected to the Shteh Lechem. The unique Mincha Karban that you bring on Pesach is conceptually linked to the one you bring on Shavuot. And since we know the one in Shavuot is Yom Tov based and not Shabbat based, so too the Karban HaOmer must be conceptually linked to that. And what that shows you is that he thinks that essentially the Shteh HaLechem and the Karban HaOmer are one conceptual unit. And therefore, that's what informs the way you understand it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, no, the conceptual framework that tells me this depends on Yom Tov is not the comparison between the Karbanot, is not because conceptually I believe that the Karban HaOmer is conceptually equivalent or connected to the Shteh Lechem, but it's because it's more about the Svirat HaOmer, essentially. We know that the Svirah is connected to Shavuot, and Shavuot is a Yom Tov. And therefore, we're in the system of Yomim Tovim. We're not in the world of Shabbatot. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, my proof is different. My proof is from the nature of counting. Right? It says that you should count, and you should count. It should be something that you control. And that tells me that I can't be in the system of Shabbat because Shabbat is not dependent on me. Only Yom Tov is dependent on me. And then you had the fourth proof, the proof that says no. It's because I know it because it must be linked to the nature of the astronomical calendar. It's related to the system of Yom Tovim in the sense that it must be on a day that's recognizable by looking at the sky. Shabbat is not, but there are 2 days in the month that are Rosh Chodesh and the at least the way Tosafot understands it, the full moon. And therefore, this must be related to the astronomical calendar, and that's how I know it. And what you see is that none of them are really directly explaining why uniquely here we use Shabbat. We use Shabbat to mean Yom Tov. What they're doing is they're making overarching conceptual arguments about the way in which either Sfirat Omer is connected to Shavuot or the Karban Omer is connected to Shtei Alechem to prove that the relevant system that we're talking about can't be an arbitrary one based on weeks. It has to be one that integrates into the Yom Tov calendar. Now this leaves us in quite an interesting place because it's really right. It's very strange how we got to this point. Right, it's very very strange how we got to this point because as I said, out of the five proofs that you have in Chazal, four of them don't even bother explaining why the Torah would use the phrase Shabbat. And Rabbi Yochanan is the most surprising because Rabbi Yochanan even thinks that the word Shabbat in context actually means Shabbat, just like the Baitusim. So this leaves us in a bit of a weird place methodologically. Right? Because, you know, it's very, very odd, right? How are we so convinced that the right day is the 16th of Nisan when four of the five proofs don't even bother explaining the odd phraseology of Shabbat? They just offer overarching arguments that tell us that the right system here is Yom Tov. And one of them is actually Moda, actually agrees to the model that was proposed, or the interpretation of the pasuk proposed by the non-rabbinic voices. So what we need to do is take these and try to understand really what Chazal are getting at. Okay. So one point is to note that all of these proofs, well, you guys help me, right? All of these proofs are good proofs if you already know one little fact. What little fact do you need to know in order to make these proofs work? I see that two of you put on mute, but you can either take off mute or you can message me. Oh.
Yeah, the chat works too, to put an answer in.
Yeah, you can put a chat if you want. This way you don't have the, right? Meaning all of these proofs work if you do one little tweak. And that is? What do you need to do, Yosef? Meaning all of these proofs that say it must be here, Shabbat means Yom Tov, because it's connected to Yom Tov, because it's connected to the Karbanot, etc. What do they need to do? There's one thing they need to do, which will suddenly make them all make sense, and that is prove that Shabbat in general can mean Yom Tov. Right? The reason that these proofs don't sound compelling is because, as I said, none of them directly attack the phrase Mimacharat HaShabbat and say, how is it that the word Shabbat here doesn't mean what we normally think of Shabbat, but means Yom Tov. But if that's only a kasha, that's only a problem if you think that the word Shabbat usually or exclusively should mean Saturday. But if you already walk in with the assumption that sometimes Yom Tov is also conceptually Shabbat, so then suddenly these proofs that say in this case, it must be Yom Tov because it's part of the framework of Yom Tov, the framework of Rosh Chodesh, the framework of Karbanot. Suddenly they make sense because when you approach the phrase of Mimacharat HaShabbat, you already had two possibilities in mind. Shabbat and Yom Tov. So that point is, I think, necessary, right? You need to go in that direction to make any of this make sense. Right? You need to go in that direction because none of these proofs make sense if you think that this is the one and only time that Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat, it means Yom Tov. If you could prove that in general, it makes sense to call Yom Tov Shabbat, so then suddenly all the proofs in Chazal make sense because you had two possibilities to begin with. It could have meant Shabbat, it could mean Yom Tov. Once you say that, so then it is fine. So here, you see that in fact, many of the sources do make this point explicitly. Even though our Gemara doesn't, right? Even though our Gemara isn't quite explicit about this point, we have some very early sources that do make this point. So if you would look, for example, in the Megillat Ta'anit, which we talked about a few weeks ago, right? This very, very early text from the time of Chazal that recorded all the holidays and fast days and things like that that are not biblical. It writes there as follows. Maybe I'll send out, let me send it as a chat here. Here we go. That's one benefit of it. So if you look at it, Ganapolsky, we've only been doing the Gemara. But here, I'll send out the sources as I go through what I'm reading. So this is from the, so here's from the Megillat Ta'anit. Megillat Ta'anit says, "Ve'eze chag ze yom tov ha'atzeret, v'halo lo nitzuchu lichtov kol ha'yamim ha'tovim shebegmila, elay shudanim keneged baitusin, shayu omrim ein atzeret elo lachar Shabbat." Right? They were fighting with the baitusin, who said that Shavuot is always on Sunday. Shenemar svartam lochem acharat ha'Shabbat. Amru lohem chachamim. Right, here's where you get the explicit missing factor that isn't in our Gemara. Amru lohem chachamim. Shabbat breishit kruya Shabbat. V'yom dov karui Shabbat. What's your problem? You can refer to Shabbat. Shabbat can be used to refer to what we normally think of as Shabbat. V'yom dov karui Shabbat. The Yom Tov Kari Shabbat. And Yom Tov is also sometimes called Shabbat. Shneamar b'yom harishon Shabbaton. Because when we refer to Yom Tov, we say on the first day of Pesach, on the first day of Sukkot, Shabbaton. You shall have a day of rest. So you see that the Torah uses Shabbat-like language to refer to Yom Tov. V'yom Kippurim kari Shabbat. Yom Kippur is also called Shabbat. Shneemar tishpitu Shabbatchem. V'hakol karui Shabbat. And all the Yomim Tovim are called Shabbat. How do you know? Shneemar milvad Shabbat Hashem. V'omer sheva Shabbatot motiena. Besides, Shabbat doesn't always mean Shabbat. Sometimes it just means a week. V'od k'tiv shiva Shabbat tisparlach. So you see that in the version of Megillat Ta'anit, before they get into the proofs like we have in the Gemara, right, the five proofs in the Gemara that say, in this case it makes sense that Shabbat doesn't mean Shabbat, that Shabbat means Yom Tov, that Shabbat means a day that's related to an astronomical reality, a day that's related to a carbon. The backdrop is that Chazal weren't even bothered by the possibility that Shabbat means Yom Tov. That was the given. That was how they started. And once you have that as your background, right? Once you have that as your background, so then you can look towards meta-arguments that will tell you that in this particular case, we should choose the interpretation that depends on Yom Tov. But what's amazing is that our Gemara, and our Gemara doesn't bring it up. But once you have this in the background, So then you understand how it's legitimate for Chazal to make meta-arguments. Okay. Now the truth is... Okay, yeah, no, I was right about this. We've only seen now the first five proofs. But now at least we've given a framing for how these proofs work. Right? I think Megillat Ta'anit allows us to understand that all these conceptual arguments work on the backdrop of this being a plausible interpretation to begin with, because Yom Tov is referred to as Shabbat or Shabbaton or something like that. And this is not just in the Megillat Ta'anit. The Ibn Ezra says the same thing. And right, he says, I'll just give you a few lines. Here. I'll give you just a few lines of Ibn Ezra. There we go. Amru Chazal mimacharat Yom Tov. And Chazal thing, it means after Yom Tov. V'hamachishim amru shehu kimashma'o. Those who deny Chazal think that it's Sunday. V'hamaminim evyu rayot. Mishnat ha-shmita v'ayovel v'atzom ha-gadol v'yom ha-tshua. Shekatuv bo shabbaton v'chem shabbaton emar be'echad shel Sukkot. We use the word Shabbat for Yom Kippur, for Sukkot, for Shemitah, for Yovel. Shabbat is just a day of rest, a time of rest, a month of rest, a year of rest. It just means a day of rest. That's what it means. And therefore, there's no reason to believe that Shabbat can't mean Yom Tov. Okay. The Ramban has another possibility, which is the following. Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tihyena. What does the word Shabbat clearly mean there? It doesn't mean Shabbat, nor does it mean Yom Tov. It simply means week. Right? It simply means week. So we know that the word Shabbat means sometimes just means week. And once you know that in this context, Shabbat isn't referring specifically to Shabbat, it could mean week. So then, it just means that the bringing of the Omer begins a new week, and you count 7 weeks from there. Now, more academic positions. So Yehuda Elitzur suggests that there's actually a very good reason to believe that Chazal are right, not just as a possibility, but as the most likely read. And I'll give you the two-line summary here from alatorah.org. This is from Yehuda Elitzur. Others relate to the word to the Akkadian Sabbatu, which in Akkadian, which is a cognate language of Hebrew, it means what? So if you see it, it just means, in Akkadian, Sabbatu actually meant the 15th of the month, the full moon. So one possibility, as we said before, is to say Shabbat means both Shabbat and Yom Tov, and therefore Chazal went for external proofs to show that the logical model here was Yom Tov and not Shabbat. But Yehuda Elitzur argues that no, it's even more than that. Chazal were aware of the fact that in ancient Semitic languages, Shabbat sometimes meant Shabbat, and sometimes it meant the full moon. So they weren't even just saying this is related to Yom Tov. What they were saying is maybe this is Dafka, the day after the full moon. And maybe that's part of what the drasha is in the Gemara, that it's that there are 2 days it could be, the day after Rosh Chodesh, the day after the 15th of the month. Okay. If you go back now to the Gemara, so now we've done a few possible backgrounds for the five drasha that we saw. But the truth is that the Gemara has even more. I was pretty sure of this, and then I got confused. But the Gemara, well, if you continue in the Gemara, if you want, I'll do what I did for Noah before to just show you where we are. I'll send you the exact line we're on in the Gemara, starting here. Right, I send you the Svaria link because it divides it by line. Tana Rabbanan, Usvartim Lochem Shetehei Svira L'Kol Echad VeEchad. You should count. That means that each person independently, not just the Beis Din, has to count. So now the Gemara says, it brings another set of proofs. Mimacharat HaShabbat, Mimacharat Yom Tov. From the day after Shabbat, this is the day after Yom Tov. So now we introduce a new one. Because the first five drashot, as we saw, don't bother explaining how they interpret Shabbat as not Shabbat. They just take it as a given that that's a possibility. But this proof number six, he actually attacks the question directly, and he says, Mimacharat Yom Tov, O Eino Ella, Mimacharat Shabbat Breshit. How do you know it means Yom Tov? Maybe it means Sunday. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Harei Omer, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, Kol Smirot Shata Sofer, Lo Yiyu, Ella Chamishim Yom. V'im tomar mimacharat Shabbat Breshit, pamim shata motze chamishim ve'echad, pamim shata motze chamishim u'shnayim, pamim chamishim u'shlosha, chamishim v'arba, chamishim v'chamisha, chamishim v'shisha. He says, you know how I know it has to be this way? It has to be from Yom Tov, because we know that the end has to be 50 days later. And if you count 7 weeks from the first Sunday to 7 Sundays later, so sometimes it'll be 50 days, but sometimes it'll be 51, sometimes it'll be 52, sometimes it'll be 53, sometimes it'll be 54. It's only if you detach the 7 weeks from Shabbat and just say it's 7 weeks come what may, no matter when Yom Tov starts, that you'll always be at 50, right? That Shavuot will always be on the 50th day after Pesach. But if you say that Shavuot is 7 weeks after Sunday of Pesach, so then it won't always be 50 days after the first day of Pesach. Some it'll be anywhere but from 50 to 56. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says, proof 7. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, Eino tzarich, I don't need that proof. Harehu Omer, Tispor lecha, you should count. Sfirat luya bebeidin, yatzah shabbat breshit, shesfirata b'chol adam. Similar to some of the proofs we saw before, he says, the way that I know that the relevant category is Yom Tov is because it needs to be something that depends on human beings and on the Beis Din, and only Yom Tov depends on Beis Din, because Beis Din determines when Rosh Chodesh is, and therefore when Yom Tov is, and therefore when the day after Yom Tov is. That's proof 7. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mimacharat HaShabbat, Mimacharat Yom Tov. At Omer Mimacharat Yom Tov, Enoel Mimacharat Shabbat, Breshit. How do I know that it's the day after Yom Tov and not the day after Shabbat? Amarta v'chinomar mimacharat haShabbat shebetoch haPesach v'halolo nemar mimacharat haShabbat kol haShana kula mileya Shabbatot stay uvdok is a Shabbat. He said, you know how I know it's Yom Tov? Because if it's the day after Pesach, so then from context I know it's the day after Pesach. But you think it's the day after Shabbat, so how do you know which Shabbat? Now the retort of the Karaites or the Beitusim is simply because the context is Pesach, and that's why we know it has to be a Sunday of a Shabbat within Pesach. But what Rabbi Yossi says is fundamentally, once you say that Shabbat means Shabbat Breshit, yes, the previous Psukim we're talking about Pesach, but the word Shabbat, if it doesn't mean Yom Tov here, is not integrally connected to Pesach. And therefore, the only interpretation of the word Shabbat that will force you to understand that we're talking about Pesach is if you think the word Shabbat means Yom Tov. Because then it follows logically that it's the Yom Tov that we were just talking about, namely the Yom Tov of the first day of Pesach. And then he gives a second proof. V'od ne'emar Shabbat lemata, v'ne'emar Shabbat lemala. Malahalan regel utchilat regel afkan regel utchilat regel, which we saw already. The Omer must be connected to the beginning of the Yom Tov. So this is not a new proof. This is what he said earlier. Now we have proof, I think, 9. Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Katuv echad Omer sheshet yomim tochal matzot. Vekatuv echad Omer shivat yomim matzot tochelu. Ha-ketzad. Matzah she'ata yachal ochla shiva menachadash. Rav Shimon ben Elazar goes with a completely different type of proof. And he says as follows. There are two psukim. One pasuk tells you that you eat matzah for 6 days. And one pasuk says you eat matzah for 7 days. So how can it be that you eat matzah for 6 days and 7 days? It's one or the other. Answer. If you think, right, matzah is made from the 5 grains. The 5 grains are usher until what day? The second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan, the day of the Karban HaOmer. And he says as follows, for 7 days you are chayev to eat matzah. And on 6 of those days, because you're bringing the Karban HaOmer, you can eat matzah from the new grain. And therefore, you have matzah for 7 days, but there's a special type of matzah that you can only have for 6 out of the 7 days of Pesach. Namely, if you understand that Sfirat HaOmer and Karban HaOmer starts on the second day of Pesach, and that also permits the new grain, so then there's a 6-day period from which you bring the Omer. Okay, so those are, let me just make sure I got that right. So now skip down. If you skip down a few lines to Rava, Rava says as follows. I'll give you the link again. Now, if you move to this line. Okay? Rava says, Amar Rava. Now, as much as we've spent the last 2 days defending Chazal, Chazal were not unaware of the fact that the 10 proofs or whatever that we just saw are not ironclad. So Rava says, Amar Rava, Kulu itlu pircha bar mitarte. Of all the 10 proofs, I could find a problem with any of them, except for 2. Bar mitarte tanoi, batroi. The 2 last ones. Bein madita kamaita, bein madita braitat litlu pircha. Because he says, Imi de Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai, Dilma kedabai, Omar abai mitrilimimne yome, mitrilimimne shavue. Rabbi Yochan ben Zakkai was depending on the 2 psukim. 7 weeks, 50 days, and therefore he said, sometimes it's just 50 days, and sometimes it's 7 perfect weeks. But you could read it for a different halacha, namely, that there's a mitzvah to count weeks, and a mitzvah to count days. He says, all those proofs that say, Shavuot, the Karban HaOmer must be part of the Yom Tov system and not the Shabbat system. That's very nice. But that doesn't tell you whether it should be related to the first day of Pesach or the second day of Pesach, or the last day of Pesach. Derbi Shmol Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira Litlu Pircha. But the final proofs have no problem with them. They're perfect. If you wanted the proof that says, Pesach might be 50 days or 51 or 52 or 53 or 54 or 55 or 56 days before Shavuot, just say it's 50 days minus those extra days, meaning 50 relevant days. Again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, yes, it might be related to Yom Tov, but how do you know it's related to Yom Tov Rishon? Maybe it's related to the last day of Shavuot. Rabbi Yossi Nami Chazal Berach Avahin de Gamar Va'od. Rabbi Yossi also had problems, etc. That's why he himself gave a disproof. So here, what we've seen so far is when you take everything together, we've explained why Chazal say what they say, but we've also noted, and the Gemara itself is aware of this, that none of these are ironclad in terms of understanding it. So how do we get to it? So one is to say, well, maybe the conglomerate of proofs work together, and by the end we're convinced. But there's another possibility. And that is, right, if you looked at all the evidence, can you give me a different interpretation of this sugya? Right, being so far we've basically said, look, Chazal have all these proofs. This must be connected to Karbanot, it must be connected to Yom Tov, v'chule, and it doesn't contradict Pshat, because sometimes Yom Tov means sometimes Shabbat means Yom Tov. But Rava himself already knows that there is a problem. So if you looked at this and you wanted to defend it, what would be the best way of defending Chazal? So one way would be to accept Yehuda Elitzur's interpretation, namely that maybe Shabbat really does sometimes mean the 15th of the month. But give me another interpretation, right? What's the easiest interpretation at this point? Looking at all this, what's the easiest interpretation? No one's giving me one. So I think, right, at some level, the easiest interpretation is that all Chazal are doing here is proving that this is a possible, plausible, or even a likely read, but they're not necessarily arguing that in a vacuum, this is the only possible read. Why were they so convinced that this was the right read? So it could just mean that they had a Misura, right? The Torah Shebaal Peh told them that the right day was the day after the first day of Pesach. And once they knew that, so what did they do? They found ways of making it plausible within Pshat. But they didn't, right? They, in a vacuum, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't have said this. But the reason they were so convinced of this was because they had a Misura. Once they had a Misura, so then all the proofs that we brought defend making this plausible. And I give you here from Rav Samet, right, that this is how he understands it. If you look in the chat, I just put it from the English translation of his article. He says, it seems then that Chazal never felt the need to find a basis within the text to change the literal meaning of the word Shabbat. This is one striking example of many where the oral law reverses the law that emerges from straightforward meaning of the text. Right, so he goes farther. You could just say they had a Misura, or he says maybe, you're right, Shabbat could mean Shabbat, but the Misura allows us to read it against maybe the simplest interpretation, and then we go and we defend the plausibility of that. And he quotes this from the Gra, in a different context, where the Gra says in Parashat Mishpatim in Adar Eliyahu that the simple meaning of the text to a stamp, which when pressed against some material produces the opposite image, and therefore, sorry, it got cut off. I'll give you the whole sentence here. The Gaon concludes, one must therefore know the straightforward meaning of the text in order to know the stamp. Only by properly understanding the original image of the stamp can one understand its reflection on the halachic level. So, one way of saying this is I think, less extreme, is to say that what Chazal are doing is offering plausible interpretations, And once you say that it's plausible, they give you reasons to accept this. But fundamentally, what they were based on is Misora. Rav Samet says you could even go farther. And you could even say that really, maybe it's not even just that Mimachar HaShabbat could mean Shabbat or could mean Yom Tov. Maybe the simplest pshat really is Shabbat. Right? Maybe it really is Shabbat. But just like we saw in Rabbi Yochanan, right? That Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought that in at least one of the cases, Mimachar HaShabbat actually means Shabbat. So then what are Chazal doing? So he notes that this is really the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda Levi. So let me get your Rabbi Yehuda Levi. One second. Kuzari 341. Here we go. Kuzari 341. The first link you get when you go on Svaria for the Kuzari is the original in Judeo-Arabic, which is not helpful for anybody, I think. Does anybody speak Judeo-Arabic? But here's the English.
Only layman knows Arabic.
This is not regular Arabic. This is Judeo-Arabic.
Oh.
It was like the medieval Arabic. So here, the Kuzari writes, now suppose we allow, look in the middle of that paragraph, like halfway down, just search for Sunday, and then go a sentence before. Now suppose we allow the Karaite interpretation of the sentence, from the Mar of the Sabbath to the Mar of the Sabbath, to refer to the Sunday. But we reply that one of the judges, priests, or pious kings, in agreement with the Sanhedrin, all sages, found the period was fixed with the intention of creating an interval of 50 days between the first fruits of the harvest of barley and the harvest of wheat, and to observe 7 weeks, which are 7 complete Sabbaths. The first day of the week is only mentioned for argument's sake in the following manner. Should the day of putting the sickle to the corn be a Sunday, you count till Sunday. From this we conclude that should the beginning be on a Monday, we count till Monday. The date of putting the sickle from which we count is left for us to fix. This was fixed for the Sunday, the second day of Pesach, which does not contradict the Torah, since it originated with the place which the Lord shall choose and the conditions discussed before. Perhaps this was done under the influence of divine inspiration. It was quite possible and saves us from the confusion of those who endeavor to cause confusion. So what Rav Samet points out is that basically in the Kuzari you could read this in two ways. Right? You could just say, like I said before, then really what he's saying is, look, the way that we know that this is the day after Pesach is Misora. Once it's Misora, all we need to do is defend the plausibility that this fits in Pshat. We don't need to prove that that's the only interpretation. We need to show directions that make it make sense, but fundamentally it's Misora. Rav Samet goes farther. And he says, well, wait a second. The Kuzari, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says that the Sunday, the Shabbat, Mimachara Shabbat here, might really mean Sunday in Pshat. Right? That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought. That it meant Sunday. It just referred to a very specific type, namely a perfect week, a case in which it happens to fall out on Sunday. The Kuzari says the same thing. Maybe the Torah was giving us an example. But maybe it really does mean that in Pshat, Mimacharana Shabbat means Sunday. But how do we know that it doesn't have to mean Sunday? Misora. So here you have three very different ways of contextualizing the drashot of Chazal. The first approach that we suggested is that Shabbat can mean either Shabbat or Yom Tov. And therefore, the point of these proofs is not to prove conclusively that Shabbat always has to mean Yom Tov. It's to say, well, once we know it could mean Shabbat or it could mean Yom Tov, so then if you provide reasons that connect it to Yom Tov, connect it to Karbanot, that make it more likely that it's Yom Tov, so then we'll accept that pshat. Possibility two from Yehuda Elitzur is that maybe if we knew ancient Hebrew well enough, we'd realize that sometimes Shabbat actually means the 15th of the month, and then there's no kasha whatsoever. Possibility three is that this is all based on Mesorah. And possibility 3b is to say, look, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, like the Kuzari, maybe the word Shabbat could mean Sunday. And in fact, sometimes it does mean Sunday, Macharat Shabbat, in a case in which Shavuot falls on a Sunday and the second day of Pesach falls on Sunday. But how do I know that that's not the exclusive read? Mesorah. And what's the point of all these drashot? To explain that why, once I have Mesorah, we say that it doesn't only mean Shabbat. It can also mean other things. And therefore, I'll read you a little bit more from Rav Samet, who basically takes this approach, and he says, maybe this is how you should understand Chazal. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Levi's thesis that the pshat of the Torah does not establish a fixed date for the bringing of the Omer, but merely requires its coinciding with the beginning of the barley harvest, allows him to pose a convincing challenge to the approach of the Baitusim. Given that the 50-day period comes to mark the passage of time from the beginning of the barley harvest to the onset of the wheat harvest, why would the day of the week bear any significance? Why would the Torah link these commemorations to one day of the week over any other? Rather, the Torah mandates the offering of the Omer at the beginning of the wheat harvest, a day determined by the people themselves, after which 50 days are counted, culminating with the celebration of Shavuot. Right. So therefore, what he says is what Rabbi Yehuda Levi is basically getting at is what I just said. Right? That, look, Shabbat could mean something else. And once it could mean something else, so then I take the contextual evidence and I bolster the pshat that I already know based on Mesorah. And in this case, like Chazal said, we know that it's linked to Yom Tov, we know that it's linked to the Karbanot, we know it's linked to Shavuot, all that pushes in the direction that it should be about holidays. To give you one more pshat, and this is Rav Samet's own pshat is that maybe the key word here is lirtzonchem. And remember I said I'd get back to this, but we did this last week on the coercion. So if you remember, we said that by the pasuk of the Karban, it says specifically that you bring the Karban Omer lirtzonchem, according to your will. And he says maybe that's really the key. That all those drashot in Chazal that say that the Shabbat we're talking about is one that is dependent on Yom Tov, on Chazal, on Rosh Chodesh, on the Yomim Tovim, comes from the fact that the defining word that the pasuk introduces for the Karban Omer is Lertzonchem. That when you bring the Arba, the Karban Omer depends on you, which tells you that once you can interpret it as Shabbat. Sorry, it's Yom Tov and not Shabbat. So therefore, you will. So to summarize what we've seen so far, or what we've seen basically, and this is mostly everything that I want to say on this, Chazal have, I think it's 10 proofs for why it's connected to Yom Tov. But in order to fully understand them, you need to either say one, like it says in Megillat Ta'anit, that the word Shabbat can equally mean Shabbat or Yom Tov. Once it could mean Shabbat or Yom Tov, so then contextual proofs will help us understand that it's connected dafka to Yom Tov and not to Shabbat. Point two is maybe Shabbat really means the 15th of the month, in which case there's no kasha at all. Point three is maybe if you think it's ambiguous, so then you can look towards Mesorah. And therefore, even if the more likely read was Shabbat, as long as it's possible to interpret it as Yom Tov, so we look towards Mesorah. Point four is like Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Once we're doing that, once we know that it's possible Shabbat means Yom Tov, so then even if the simplest understanding of Shabbat, and even sometimes it does mean Shabbat, literally, Misora plus all the logical arguments of Chazal will tell us that the halacha is dependent on Yom Tov. And Rav Samet says that the drasha really that drove Chazal is that once you know it's possible for it to refer to Yom Tov, the word Lertzonchem, the fact that in some sense the Karban HaOmer is dependent on us, means that it must be part of the system of Yomim Tovim and Karbanot rather than the system of Shabbat. And that, taken together, is why Chazal attach it to Yom Tov. Now, I will just note that all of this, or most of this, explains why it's after a Yom Tov. But as the Gemara itself notes, some of the proofs only tell you that Mimacharat HaShabbat means the day after a Yom Tov. But you really need two stages. You need to prove that Mimacharat HaShabbat means the day after Yom Tov, and then you need to say, and which Yom Tov is it? The first day of Pesach. But you could theoretically accept half of Chazal's proofs, namely, that the Omer is connected to Yom Tov and not Shabbat, but reject their conclusion that it's after the first day of Pesach and say that it's after the last day of Pesach. And as I said, this is found in the Pshita. If you look at the Pshita, I'll send it to you. One second, it's just one line. Here we go. The Pshita says, Unifarshe lekafa lekuvla kada maraya ubater yoma acharana nifarshe kahana. Right, the Pshita actually took this pshat. They accepted Chazal halfway, but not the whole way. And they said that yes, it's after Yom Tov, but it's after the last day of Yom Tov. And some Ethiopian Jews actually had this practice, that they had the Chazal's interpretation, namely, that Svirat HaOmer depends on Yom Tov, but they didn't have Chazal's conclusion that the relevant Yom Tov was the first day of Pesach, and actually they kept it on the day after the last day of Pesach, which meant that Shavuot was always on the 12th of Sivan, rather than on the 6th of Sivan, as we have it. There is one more interpretation that has been offered outside of rabbinic circles, and that is to say that maybe there's a totally another approach here. It's already noon. Okay, maybe tomorrow I'll just pick up on this one pshat which is found in the Ketav HaKabbalah. And then we'll continue from there, unless you guys want to take another 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes or you're going to get lunch?
I'm good.
Okay, so maybe let's just finish it off. Or do you have to go get the food, Yosef?
I actually get the food. Apparently, the guy might have came already.
Oh, okay. So I'll go through it quickly. It's not long, but I'll just do it now. Okay. So the Ketav HaKabbalah notes, and some modern scholars have done this as well. They say that maybe Shabbat here doesn't mean Yom Tov. What it means is sometimes Shabbat means, like, can mean Yom Tov, but it can also mean cessation, right? The day that something stopped. So the Ketav HaKabbalah says maybe what the drasha really is understanding is it's the day after the cessation of chametz, meaning the day after the first day on which you stopped eating chametz. So that's when I want you to bring the Karban HaOmer. It's what I just sent you. This is two lines from the Ketav HaKabbalah from Yaakov Mecklenburg. Shenikra yom rishon shel Pesach b'shem Shabbat, al shem shvitat Chametz Shebo. It's because it's the first day on which you stop eating chametz. And that's what this means. And he says, what's the logic to that argument? So the logic to the argument is because we're talking about Pesach, we're talking about grain, right? And essentially what you can say, it's after the first day when we... it's after the first day when we stop eating bread, right? So then you bring a grain offering. And in that sense, he says that the reason we call it Shabbat is because the whole essence of Pesach is the fact that you don't eat chametz. And therefore, it really is, it's definitional. It's the day after, the day of cessation of chametz. And that's how he understands it. You can read the whole pshat, it's a bit long. And some of the modern commentators said that maybe the benefit of this, philosophically, was that you connect it to the mun. Because there's two modern scholars that say that according to Yoshua, Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Bet, it says that the mun stopped on the first day of Pesach. And maybe what this is doing is making it that the Karban HaOmer will always commemorate the day that we stopped having the mun, which was the first day of Pesach. So that's a totally another direction, which is to say that the reason the first day of Pesach is considered Shabbat is because it's either the day after we stopped, the day after you stop eating chametz, or the day after you will eventually, I guess, stop having mun. But that's a totally different interpretation. Okay, we've done 3 days on it. So now you've seen all the non-rabbinic positions, both in the time of the Gemara and after the Gemara, the 10 approaches of Chazal to proving that Mimacharat HaShabbat in fact means Sunday. And we've talked through the methodological assumptions that may have driven Chazal to do it, whether it was their conviction that Shabbat could mean Yom Tov and therefore should mean Yom Tov in this case, that it's linked to the cessation of bringing karbanot, of chametz, whether it's linked to the karbanot and the like, and all those push them in the direction of saying it's Yom Tov, plus the possibility that the reason they're so convinced of this is Torah Shabbat Peh. And all they were trying to do was explain why the Torah Shabbat Peh fits and doesn't contradict Pshat. But taken all together, I think we've tried to get at least somewhat of an understanding of the concepts behind Chazal's interpretation, saying that it's the day after the first day of Pesach. Okay. So we've actually done a blot of Gemara in this perek. I'll send out Makarot, I guess, for tomorrow morning, okay?
All right.
Okay. How's everybody...